Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
How are we doing? Nice. Like that. Powerful. Let's do that again. How are you doing? Look at that. That's awesome. I love that. I don't know why. What is up there? What's going on? Got some youth in the house? Yes. Or some others? Awesome. Great. Let me ask you a quick question, really quick. How many of you have trouble like praying out loud? Any pressure with that? Yeah, okay, one few people, okay. Have you ever had a moment where you also, a different moment where you just didn't know what to pray? Just did not have any idea what to pray. Like, you were in a moment, you're like, I need to pray for something. You're like, I don't even know how to pray for this. Anybody had that moment? Like, what do I do? What do I pray? How about you combine those two moments, right? You don't know what to pray, and you just got asked to pray out loud. What do you do there? Because there you can't even pray about it, right? You're stuck. You're like, oh God, I hope you're praying for your prayer. Like you're like, it's a double thing. Does it negative? It's a double negative. I don't even know. I had that moment several years ago. And I got reminded of it this week. I don't know why, but I think I told that story before. But I had a moment where I was asked by someone to pray over a nightclub in Charlotte, and it was called Label at the time, and now it's called something else, I'm sure. But it was popular a couple of years ago. Anyways, I met the guy through someone I knew, and anyways, I hit it off with him, and so he said, "Hey, would you come and would you pray over, would you bless the nightclub?" Like, I'm like, what? Like, how do you do that? Is that even allowed? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I going to get busted for this? Will they take my clergy license away? I don't even know. I don't even know if I have one. I do have one. Or the parking space. I don't have that. But I mean, what would they do? Like, is there any scripture in there that says Jesus blessed this debauchery? How do you even pray like that, right? And so I had this moment. So I was like, so I started talking to him. I actually visited. I went and hung out with him like on an afternoon, not at night. I didn't want to get in the middle of Friday night, take the mic. Yo, guys, I'm about to bless this. No, I didn't want to do that. So this, I went in the afternoon, and the whole time I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here, and why, I don't even know if this is going to take, you know what I'm saying? Right? Like, I mean, I don't, there's not enough holy water, there's not enough oil in all of the anointing, I mean, I don't even know how I'm going to do this. Anyway, so I went there, and I started having a conversation with him, and I asked him, I was like, why do you want to do this? And so it actually led to a great conversation. We got to pray together, spent 2 hours together, just talking about his life and his journey with God, and it was really great. And at the end, I was like, hey, listen, man, I'll pray, but I don't know if this is an official blessing. I don't know what you were expecting, but let me just pray this. And said, I prayed, God, I just prayed that the people who come here would come to celebrate life, not to escape it. And as I said this, I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Right? Some of you guys are like, hey, that's pretty good. I know. I didn't say that out loud, but I thought it. But then I thought, that is such a great idea, like a question to ask ourselves. Like, do we live our lives? Do we look forward to the weekend? Do we look forward to the vacation, the extra time off, the whatever, the high, the party? Do we look forward to it to escape it? Or are we trying to celebrate life? So the reason why we have fun and party and get together with people, do we want to just escape our existence, or do we actually want to celebrate the life that God's given us? Two different things. That's why it seems interesting because when we there are certain things you can do to celebrate, and it looks like you're trying to escape. And what's happened is that we take all the things that are just fun, and even Jesus turning water into wine. I mean, he did it because they were celebrating a wedding. They weren't escaping reality. They were trying to celebrate a wedding, and he provides the alcohol for it. I mean, you can't get around to it. God is about celebrating things. Every time that Jesus talked about a story about finding something that was lost, they ended with a what? Party. Yeah, they ended with a celebration. So there's something to that, this idea of celebrating life. It's the key to life. But so many of us, our reality is we want to escape the life that we're living right now. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about that, because as we conclude our series of the letters of John, it's five chapters, and then there he also writes like one chapter each of 2 John and 3 John, in which he basically is saying the same things. He's actually, in one letter, he's talking to one of the elders, the lady there who started a church, who is maintaining that community and just reassuring her about all the things that he's actually talking about in the first letter. And so it's a theme that he has gone through. It's this idea that God is light, God is love, and then God is life itself. And so God's love is what we talked about last week, but this morning it's really about this idea. What is this idea called God is life? So when it comes to the kind of life we're living, the kind of things we are doing, is it trying to escape or is it trying to celebrate? I think the question is, what do you hear when you hear God is life? For some of us, do you hear God is life, or do you hear life is God? Life is God. So what I mean by that is there's a difference. I think for some of us, it's fundamentally different, because I think we live our lives in compartments. This is God stuff and this is not God stuff. This is something, this is my work, this is where I work out, this is where I go to church. I don't act the way I do at the gym like I do at church. Or to be clear, I don't act like in church like I do at the gym, because you know me, I go crazy, you know, like, or I don't act like I remember one guy saying, I'm kind of ruthless at my career and my work, but I'm different with church people. I was like, okay, I kind of get that idea, but it's this living a life with compartments. I'm this person here, I'm this person here, I'm this person here, I'm different kinds of people. And so you live the life escaping from one and getting into the next, and not just celebrating and living in the life that you live. See, this notion of this notion of not this space but that space, this idea of like this space is not that good, that space is better, is not just common in our culture, but it's also common in spirituality, and especially in Christianity. Now, so if you remember the story of Noah, anybody remember the story of Noah? Remember Noah's the guy with the flood. Okay, anybody? Yeah, Noah is the flood guy. Okay, what's the big story about that? There was a big boat, right? What was it called? The Ark. Yes, the Ark. Did you know that if you go back and look at church architecture, you will notice that there's a period in time that most church building looked like arcs. That if you walk into one, and there's some even exist now, you look up and they looked like there was an ark, because the church fundamentally believed that this world, because we compartmentalize things, this world is not good. This world is evil. This body is evil. This space is not good. We're going to go to a better place. So we say, right? This is not our home. That is our home. This kind of stinks. That's better. This earth is cursed and blah, 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 blah. But that is where we want to go. So the idea that has seeped into even the Christian faith is, hey, we escape this to get to that. We don't celebrate here, we celebrate there. Here, life just stinks. Or it's just hard. This is not it. Eternal life is over there. It's not here at all. And I wonder, when you think about that, and when that seeps into our soul and begins to navigate our decisions, what kind of person, what kind of Christian, what kind of church are we? Are we the church that says, hey, let's huddle up, let's get everybody who's on the same page here, because we're escaping. This is the ark, and we're escaping the world. Don't let the world in. And you've heard this, right? Don't let the world in. No. Like, let's keep this safe. Why? Because again, it's like we're escaping the world. We're escaping this and we're going there. So life becomes a series of escaping this kind of space and going into this kind of space. Is it really what God wanted us to live? When he says God is life, is that really the case? Really the case at all? My son was asking me earlier this week. He was like, "Hey, so what's this week's message all about?" And the way he asked it, honestly, I love him. The way he asked it was like, "Should I even care?" Like, that was kind of the idea. I mean, he's a great guy. He's great. Asher was awesome. Okay, but he's straight up. He was like, "I mean, is it gonna be any, you know, not that it's gonna be worth something, but it's just like, is it relevant?" And I was like, "What is this message about?" I said, "You know what? This message is about how to live a happy, fulfilled life." And he was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "I think it is. Like, I got to deliver on that." I do believe, though, it is. It's living a happy, fulfilled life, because there is fundamentally a different view of what we think we should live, the kind of life that we should live, and the life God wants us to live. And when you say God is life, it's extremely different to, I think, what all of us are thinking. So let's jump right into it. If you got your Bibles, you can grab those. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And then I'm going to explain the rest of the chapter a little bit, read a couple more passages for you, and then I'll read the last thought that he has in that same chapter. So let me jump right in. It's verse 1. It says, Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Let's just stop right there for a second. Actually, I'll keep on going. And it says in verse 3, he says, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's stop right here. There's so many things to unpack here, but let me explain. Let me go through some of them. First of all, he fundamentally changes this idea of what it means to be in relationship with God. He says this. He says that everyone who believes in Jesus, who believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. So he's talking about not believing in Jesus. He's talking about believing in Christ, which we go, that's the same thing. That's his last name, Mr. Jesus Christ, right? How many of you thought that? I did. As a growing up Muslim, I was like, that's his last name. I'm Christ. Jesus Christ. I mean, like that's it. Like, that's his last name. But it's not true. And here's why I think we all kind of think that, is we there's so much talk, PR, about Jesus and nothing about Christ. And we've heard the phrase, it's all about Jesus, 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 Jesus. But Jesus is the human name of the expression of God, which is actually divine, which is called the Christ, the Anointed One. And so there is something more that John's pointing to. He said, your life is not in Jesus. It's different. Here's what he's trying to say. He's saying that if you don't understand that this Christ, this divine nature of God, is the nature that actually brought Jesus into human history, gave him a physical human presence, and now we just call him Jesus because everybody's called Jesus. Other people are called Jesus, but people are not called Christ. If someone is called Christ, or if they call themselves Christ, we got an issue. But it's just Jesus. People are named Jesus. That's all good, because it's a human expression of something that's actually divine. That in Christ is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's Christ, the part of God that created all of these things. So that's why you think, when you read, if you've read the Bible, you go, okay, am I supposed to believe in Jesus, or am I in Jesus? Am I created for Jesus? What's going on? Let me explain this. So basically what it is we have been told, which is incomplete. We've been told that we were created by God to live for Him, which makes total sense, right? You're like, of course, I believe that. And Naeem, don't tell me that's not true because I bought the t-shirt. Okay, $14.99. Like, I mean, I got that. I mean, that's my thing. Why? I was created by God to live for Him, because we're supposed to live for Him, not for ourselves, but for Him. I must, decrease, He must increase. Come on, Naeem, come on. That's the reality. I get that. But with John's writings, there's a depth to it. He says you and I have to move from that idea of we are created by Him to live for Him. What he's saying is that we were actually created in God to live from Him. Not created by Him to live for Him, created in Him to live from Him. It is a totally different conversation. Have you ever been in a relationship, okay, of any kind, that you had to like please them in different ways? Like you could not get it right to save your life. Like, have you ever been in a work situation? You're like, oh my gosh, is everything okay? Are we okay? Have you ever had to tiptoe around someone? Have you ever had to hope that doesn't offend her? Have you ever thought, I hope she has a good day today? Forget your day. I just hope she has a good day, because if she doesn't have a good day, we're all having a bad day. You know? See, if you believe that your Christian experience and your life with God is about being in a relationship where you have to continually please the other person, you will live your life managing and focusing only about on yourself, your performance, and your sin, and your righteousness. Why? Because you believe fundamentally you were created by Him, so you owe Him, and then you were created, you're supposed to live for Him, and so God is waiting around saying, get your stuff together. And so your walk and my walk in Christianity is all about just trying to perform for God. Why? Because we've been told, we've read, hey, you were created by Him to what? Live for Him. But no one told us, hey, it's deeper than that. When he talks about, hey, people who have this eternal life, people who are born of God have to believe this, realize this, that Jesus is actually the Christ. It is the Christ. He is in here. He is the creator of all things. Paul talked about it in Colossians. He said, when in Him, everything was created, through Him, by Him, for Him. And what is he talking about? He's talking about this Christ DNA, this source that everything was created in, and you and I live out of that, believing that. The good news is that God sent Himself, the Christ Himself, took on human flesh and made a way that we could forever have a relationship with Him. That's the good news. It's not the good news is He made you and now He's waiting for you to get your act together, which is the Christian popular maybe idea. No, it's different. It's not that at all. It's more than that. And see, if you read the last chapter, he explains it, because people are, he goes into these thoughts, and you're like, you might even think, why are you talking about this stuff? Because he talks about sin, talking about how if people go off and if they go off and you have to bring them back, and he's talking about this idea of managing sin, and he begins to have this conversation with us and says, hey. And in other verses, I wish I could read them. I mean, read the whole chapter to you. But he says, hey, don't fall into this. Don't fall into this idea that, like, if you sin, you've lost connection and God doesn't hear your requests. I mean, he goes on. He says, hey, you have to understand that the connection, the reality you and I live in, what we believe, is that there is no connection to be lost. You're in Him. You work out of Him. Like, for example, have you ever been in a phone call and it's a bad connection? Is it annoying? It's annoying, isn't it? It's annoying. The other day I was with one, and when this happens, I'm the most annoyed. It's when the connection gets funky where you hear yourself say it. Oh, that's the worst, isn't it? I can't focus. It's funny because I said it. I'm just hearing it again. I'm like, you're distracting me. Me, you are distracting me. Like, stop it. I can't do it. And the problem is the other person doesn't hear it. They don't. And you're like, and they're like, are you nuts? What's going on? I'm like, no, I just can't. I can't do this. Why? I can't hear myself talk. You are talking. No, I know, but myself is talking to me. I just don't, with a weird accent, and I don't want, no, just stop it. I'm gonna shut this call. And you know, it's harder when there's so many other people in on the call. So with the staff, we do every week, weekly, on Fridays, we do this Zoom huddle call about the weekend. And we all get on the call wherever we are. And I tell you, the connection sometimes is ridiculous. And I'll just tell you right now, okay? Some of our staff, they're ridiculous. Because they're doing all kinds of stuff when we're trying to have a meeting. Oh, I hear it on the background. Do you know what I'm talking about? You hear it. You hear it. I'm like, what are you guys doing? What's going on here? Who's driving? Who's driving? Someone will say, hey, I'm going through a tunnel. What? What? Pastor Mike. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Are you... It's echoing. Where are you? Are you in the bathroom again? Seriously, bro. What are you doing? What are you doing? What's going on here? We got people screaming in the background, cats, I don't even know. I'm like, guys, mute yourself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Stop it. Stop it. But the hardest thing is just the connection when you can't really hear. I think that when we believe that managing our sin and living for God means just living for Him, and life is all about that, we spend our entire Christian life and then even our other part of our life trying to keep this connection. Because if we don't keep it, we're going to lose it. And then it's all about just staying connected. It's all about just staying connected. And God is saying, hey, I am life itself. Okay, stop believing the lie that you're going to get disconnected. You don't even... What are you doing? What are you doing? Why have you believed this? You were created in me. That's why in Jeremiah he says, I had a relationship with you before you were born. What does that even mean? Before I knew you, before I created you. Okay, well, fine then. What does that even mean? It means that the life that we are living right now, there's so much more to this. When God says, I am life, and when people who believe that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, they have this eternal life. And they understand that there's the commands, the ideas, the worldview I want you to live on is so much to do with living in God, loving, being loved by Him, and loving people like Him. That's why He continually, again and again, says, hey, you cannot know me, you cannot know me, you cannot know me. You can't even know if you love God if you don't love others. Because if you're in love and you move out of love, there is no way you can move out of something if you're not totally in it. You can do things for the wrong reason. But it's very different to be in something and you're giving out of what you are. Because you know, when you give out of what you are, it's a different conversation. You know the difference between someone who gives out of who they are and who are just doing this for recognition. It's a very different conversation. Very different conversation. And so he says, hey, this is the kind of life. He's talking about a worldview. And as you continue to reading the chapter, he talks about don't get confused. Don't let people tell you there's another different worldview. Do not allow this stuff to get inside of you. In fact, he ends his thought, verse 21. And he says this, let me read this. He says, dear children, keep away Okay, so dear children, keep away from anything, that might take God's place in your hearts. He's like, keep away from anything. Which again, if you're thinking about, you're thinking idols and this and that. No. He's talking about anything that keeps away from like the Christ in your heart, the knowledge that you were made in Him and to live from Him. Because friends, if we don't understand that, we will continue to live our lives trying to please Him. That's it. And that's going to be our existence. And it's going to be about I just live to please Him. No, God's not calling you to live a life to please Him. God's calling you to live a life to proclaim Him. That everything we do says that God lives and God exists. You're not supposed to be kind. You're supposed to be God's kindness walking around. You're not supposed to be loving. You are God's love just existing in the world. You're called to be light. He says you're the light. Not that you have light or you have a flashlight. No. He says you are light. You light up. Your very presence, because Christ is in you, lights up the world. It's a very different kind of life. If you and I live this kind of life that we're, okay, it's no, I got to live for Him. I got to do this. You know what it means? It means you're self-focused. And I believe so many of us have just signed up for that. Let me explain this way, okay? Let's ask the question, okay, how do I be happy? How can I live a happy and fulfilled life? Well, if we can list so many things, let me give you a few. Let me give you four. And you believe this. I believe this. Okay, if I was going to live a happy, fulfilled life, here's what I need to work. First of all, I need to be free. The level of my freedom is connected to my happiness. If I'm emotionally free, physically free, that's always a good thing. Psychologically free, if I'm just free from all the things you can think of, the level of my freedom is connected to the level of my life. To which we would say, yeah, that makes sense. Then we would think, okay, not just freedom. Being fully free is being fully happy and satisfied. Okay, that's one idea. Then it's like, oh, no. Also, being successful. If you're successful in everything you do, then you will live a happy, fulfilled life. We're like, that's true, right? I guess if you're successful in your relationships, in your career, in all your ventures, if you try something and you're really great at it, if you're successful, hey, guess what? It makes you happy. If you have a win, it makes you happy. So you go, the more successful I am, the more wins I get, the more happy I am, the more fulfilled I am. Why not? We believe that. How about this one? We all believe this. The level of to which I am loved is connected to my quality of life. Why wouldn't you believe that, right? You're like, it's so true. If you let people love you, if you let love in, the people who love you determine the quality of your life. If you are loved by friends and family, if you've been loved and you are loved now, you're loved by someone special and you're just loved, of course, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you have a fulfilling life? Why wouldn't you have a full life? Of course, if your kids love you, I mean, yes. So we believe that. How about this one? Comfort. Man, if I'm just comfortable, that means if I just live a pain-free life, I'm going to live a happy life. If you've ever dealt with chronic pain, you're like, amen to that. Yes, if you could just get away from chronic pain, chronic discomfort, anxiety, stress, if I can just get comfortable, if I can just have some kind of luxury in a sense, man, I would be great. All of those things that I listed, all those four things, make total sense. To which we would go, that is, if we can figure those out, that's life. But God says, hey, to live a full and satisfying life, to live a life that's connected to me, in which, you know, if you read John 15, he explains this whole idea. Jesus says, hey, I'm the... I'm the vine, you're the branch. Yeah, apart from me, you can't really do anything. He's talking about tapping into this everlasting life, this different kind of existence, this different kind of life. And so what I would say is that those four things make sense to us, but they're not the answer to living a fulfilled life. So Jesus would do this, I think. He would say this. Now, I mean, obviously, I put words to it, but more than determining your freedom as a sign of your fulfillment, he would say this. He said, it's not enough for you to be free. It's how many people you set free. He would say, you need to be a freedom fighter. It's not about your freedom. Yeah, that's great. It's not about justice for you. It's about justice for everybody else around you. You're living free, but no one else is free. He says, you want to live a fulfilled life, a full life, you need to be a freedom fighter for other people. It's not enough that you live free and everybody else around you are living in all kind of bondage. That is no kind of life. He says, that's the kind of life in God. If you live for him, then it's all about you and your stuff. But if you live in him and work out of him and through him, then it's all about the freedom that other people get to experience because you exist. And then he would say, hey, success, it's not about being great at this thing or that thing. In fact, it's about finding greatness in others. It's this idea of being a headhunter. It's about this idea of like pulling out people's potential, is looking into people's lives and saying, calling them to be great. I know this, guys. I know, and you know this too. It does not matter how successful you are and how popular you get and how whatever ladder you climb and you're on the top. It doesn't matter. Because if the people around you are not great, if their potential has not been realized, if they are not all that they could be, you and I have failed as leaders. Because a great leader calls out other people's greatness out of them. And that's the message of Jesus. That's the life in God he's talking about. When he talks about being loved, right? He says, that's great. He says, that's great. But if you want to live a full life, if you want to live a life in me, here's the thing. It's not about how much you are loved. It's about how great you love. It's about being a great lover of people. It is moving past your hurt, your pain, your trigger points, whatever you got to do, and go into a place and a space that you decide, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love people more than I have ever been loved. I'm not going to love them the way I've been loved. No, I'm going to love them more than I have ever been loved. I'm going to do that. That's tapping into this life of God. That's tapping into a view of God that's more than just, hey, this is ordinary life. This is what John is talking about when he says, hey, I don't want you to put anything else in the place don't replace God. And don't allow anything else in your heart. Don't allow that to be the source. Put God's view, God's idea of what life is, and then you live a fulfilled life. So when he talks about this idea of comfort, guess what he's saying, right? He's saying, no, it's not about you being comfortable. It's about you being a force, you being dangerous. It's about you moving towards pain and suffering. It's not about being comfortable. Recently, I'm reading a book. I am reading a book right now called "What Doesn't Kill Us." Okay, not a Christian book, by the way, or whatever that means. But it's by Scott Carney, and this is the only book that says, "Do not try all of this at home." Like I thought it was only in videos, right? No, this is in a book. It's like, do not try any of this. Because it's a research book, and the premise of the book is understanding what the human body can endure, the extreme conditions the human body can endure. And his case is this, that as a society, we are training ourselves to become weak physically. And because of all the comforts that we've created. I mean, and who doesn't like comforts, right? Seat warmers, come on, thank you, Jesus, right? And then the new stuff, the vented seats, anybody experienced that? They'll cool your butt too. I mean, wow. That is wow. Amazing, amazing stuff. I love being comfortable. Who does not? But the life in God is not about comfort. It's about moving towards pain and suffering, which is counter, isn't it, to a traditional view. Because of a traditional view, like I started, hey, no, no, world is bad. We are good. Let's build an ark. We're leaving. Because we're going to escape this darkness. Because there in heaven, it's going to be awesome. We're going to celebrate. It's wonderful. So now let's keep darkness away. Let's move. Which is counter to everything Jesus says, by the way. He's like, you're light. Okay, that means go into darkness. Like, you go into dark places. You don't run away from them. You move towards pain and suffering, not away from it. Your love, you move towards places that are filled with hate, and you love. Like, you move into fearful places and cast out fear. You be the one. You be the one to do that. It's the different kind of life. Have you ever been in a moment where you watch the movie and then it's always like horror movies or suspenseful movies, and there's always a scene where it's a dark cave, or it's the door that opens up, and there's a basement, right? And one person always goes, "Hey, I'm gonna look and see if Susan's down there," right? And what do we say? Susan's been dead. She's been dead. She got eaten up, but I don't even know who. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that. In some movies, they have this like they'll have I don't know, they're going through some caves or something, and then there's an opening, and it's just enough to put a hand through. And they put a hand through. Why do you do that? And your hand is gone. Or they'll do this. This is the worst for me. I don't know why. They'll put their eye in there. I'm like, bro, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, I've seen all the Alien movies. How many of you have seen Alien movies? I don't know why I watch them. I know what's going to happen. Someone's going to be like, oh, what is that? Like, it always happens. Now, I just wonder, is it because they like that we do this, and they like the response, and actors and directors are smart? Or is there a sense in us, wired up internally, that yet we fear darkness. There's something about us that says we need to go and rescue. We need to go something. Like, is there something about us that says, even though I'm afraid of this opportunity, I'm afraid of this darkness and pain and grief, I'm afraid of what this might do. There's something, for some of us, it's a lot bigger than others, but there's something inside of us that says, I can do this. Something inside of you that says, I can rescue this. I'm supposed to do this. I can handle this. Could it be that there's something inside of you, you were created with a subconscious that you don't even realize that tells you, you are light. You have the power of God in you. And you can go. And you might not have the words to say. You might not have the right attitude. You might not even have the right spirit. But I will tell you, you were created with this life force, which is the Christ. That's why we believe in the Son of God, because it's the Christ that lives inside of us. You were meant to do this. So that's why we don't live our lives trying to be free and trying to be loved and trying to be successful and trying to be comfortable. We live our lives freeing others, loving others, making other people great. And what? Guess what? Moving to pain and suffering. That is what we need more than any other time in this world. With New Zealand, the things that have happened there. I mean, I posted a video on Instagram, and I really didn't want to post it. I just felt compelled to. People were asking me, hey, what do you think? What do you think? And if you don't know, I mean, it's two mosques were attacked. 49 people died, 40 plus people injured. And you know, one of the mosques was called Al-Nur, which is light. Nur actually is the word for light. And my daughter's name, if you don't know, is Nura, which is again light. And it just kind of messed with me a little bit. I'm like, what do I do? And you know what I wanted to do? I didn't want to hear it. When I first heard about it, I'm like, I don't want to read it. I don't. It's another thing. It's another thing I can't do. It's I don't want to do this. And a part of me was like, I just don't, just shut the TV off. Like, just, can I just? But then there's another part of me that says that I got to move towards this. We got to say something about this. We have to move towards this. We have to stand and sit, we stand against evil and sit with the people who are hurting. We have to do this. And friends, I'll end with this. Our fulfilling life that God is calling us to is calling us to a life in Him that is truly rooted in Him, and we live out of Him. We're never called to live a life that just pleases Him. No, it's a life that proclaims who He is. And man, if people begin to do that and agree on that and come together, that would be the church. That would be the church. So that's my prayer for us. I want to pray for you. Can we stand? Let's do that. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for these conversations. I thank you for the lives that we are living and the lives that we could live. And Father, I just pray that you would erase all the categories in our lives that say this is godly life and this is not. This is what I do for God and this is what I do for myself and this is what I do for my boss and this is what I do for my spouse and this is what I do for my kids. God, it's all you. It's all you. It's all you. It's always been you. So Father, I pray that we would learn to live in you and from you. And then when Jesus said, hey, apart from me, you cannot do anything, we would understand that you are the source of everything that is full, everything that we know of that is life. So God, I pray, would you courageously call us and would you courageously equip us to be people who set people free, people who love people more than we've been loved, people who bring out people's greatness, and people who move towards suffering and pain, move towards the shadows with our light. God, we love you. We thank you. In your Son's name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.